Thank you for listening to the Pursuit Church podcast. This is more than a podcast. Pursuit Church is a movement to connect to Jesus and make a difference. If you need prayer or would like to financially support our mission, reach out to us online at pursuitchurchsa.com. Now grab your headphones and get ready to dive into this week's message.
It is a beautiful day to kick off the month of December, right? Nice and cool, right? I don't know about y'all, but this cooler weather, oh man, it just gets me in the holiday spirit, right? I'm getting excited. I'm getting excited for Christmas. Because, you know, Christmas is actually my favorite time of the year. It's my absolute favorite time of the year. And, you know, we technically, it's true, we don't really know when Jesus was born. I mean, theologians and scientists have been talking about this for centuries. Nobody really knows the exact date. But there is a story behind the day, December 25th, that we celebrate Christmas. You know, the Emperor Constantine, he became a follower of Christ, right? And he was the ruler. And so at that time, he decided he wanted to honor the birth of our Savior. So he declared December 25th to be the day that that was going to happen. And the reason he did it is because at that time, that was during winter solstice. And there was this pagan festival going on during that time of the year. Winter solstice is the shortest and darkest day of the year, if you didn't know that. So they had this pagan festival that was going on to try to encourage each other and usher in some hope for the coming spring. You know, for hope that there would be an end to the darkness and new life in the spring. But Constantine wanted to shift the focus from that hope to the hope of Jesus Christ, the hope of the world. So he set aside December 25th, which is right around winter solstice, to celebrate the birth of Jesus, Christmas. And I don't know about y'all, but in our house, we do Christmas big, big, like it blows up in our house. And you know what? I start right before Halloween. Y'all don't judge me. Don't nobody judge me. Because I have a strategy to that, right? There's a house towards the end of our street. And this year they literally put a devil blow up in their front yard. I'm like, nope, I rebuked that. So I decided I'm going to bring out my Christmas decorations early. And I do it anyway because you never know what kind of what's going on out there, right? Celebrating a demonic day. I don't think so. So I bring out Jesus stuff early. Because I want my Christmas decorations to outshine any kind of weird, evil darkness other people got going on. And it's not just that, y'all. But when I think about how jacked up I used to be before Jesus saved my life, I'm going to celebrate. I'm going to celebrate his birth, and I'm going to do it big because I'm going to go hard for Jesus, y'all. But you know what? Before I really start up in here, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, our Messiah, our Savior, the one you sent to save us from the darkness all around us. Lord, we just thank you that we can come into your house and hear your word. Lord, I pray that you speak through me, push me out of the way. I submit my mind, my will, my vocal cords, the very breath in my lungs, Lord, I submit it to you. And I ask you to have your way, speak through me. And let your word land on soft hearts ready to receive it. And Father, may your word change us all from the inside out. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. So I want you to turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 9. Y'all brought y'all paper Bibles, right? I don't hear nobody, but that's all right. Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah's in the Old Testament. So if you go to the middle of the Old Testament, you're going to land on Psalms, right? Well, Isaiah's about three or four books after that. And we're going to go to Isaiah 9, starting in verse 6. And these verses, 6 and 7, are going to be our base camp scripture for this whole month of December. So y'all there yet? Put up on your phone, put up your Bible. All right, let's read together. Isaiah 9, 6. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. Now, I want to stop right there for a second. You know, our nation just went through a huge election cycle, right? It was really important. As Americans, we were going to decide who was going to carry the weight of our government on their shoulders, at least for the next 4 years. This election was actually referred to as a very pivotal moment for our nation. Passions were high. There was all kinds of drama going on, if y'all remember it. People were putting a lot of faith and hope in their chosen candidate. And it was almost as if they thought that person was some sort of savior. However, we need to remember that no one, no government, no president, no one is ever capable of saving us or bringing healing to those broken places in our lives. Nobody but Jesus. Only Jesus can do that. In fact, every single thing that you have ever been through in your entire life, Jesus has always been there. He's always been there to save you. You just might have missed it. You might not have recognized it. Has anybody in here ever tried to sell or buy something on Facebook Market or maybe OfferUp or any of that? Now, if you've ever done that, you know how it works, right? You got to set up a time to go meet this person, right? You're going to go meet them and, you know, you're going to arrange the transaction, right? Well, you are always, you should be, concerned in the back of your mind if you're going to recognize them. So you go to their Facebook profile or their social media profile, and you kind of have an idea of what they might look like, right? But I'm going to tell you something. Y'all know how some of them people be. They be putting all them filters on their social media profile pic, and they don't look nothing like what they really look like. You know what I'm talking about? So when you go to meet them, if they don't look exactly like what you thought they were going to look like, you might miss them. Well, same thing is true about Jesus. You might have a picture in your mind of what you think he's supposed to look like and do, how he works, but it's not altogether real. So when he shows up in your life or in your struggle or in your situation, you can miss him. You don't recognize his hand in your life because it didn't look like what you thought it was going to look like. And that's why this month, in the month of December, as we prepare to celebrate the birth of Jesus, we're going to focus on who he really is. Who he really is. So let's go back to Isaiah 9, starting again in verse 6. I'm going to start all over again. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. In Isaiah chapter 9, the prophet is telling the Israelites, and actually he's telling the whole world, because remember, he's a prophet. He's talking about the future. He's telling all of us, hey, God sees how y'all have been suffering. You've experienced a lot of hurt, and he knows your hearts are yearning for relief. And then Isaiah prophesies the arrival of that relief, a savior. And the first thing that Isaiah says is that the system of government that we've been living under is going to be gone forever. Someone is coming who will usher in a new form of government, and he will be the leader. It'll be a better form of government. The government will be on his shoulders, and not just for 4 years. No, it's going to be forever. Forever. Para siempre. Then Isaiah gives us four specific names of this Savior. And the cool thing about these names is that they're more than titles. They are the Savior's identity, and they carry a powerful role. You know, we all understand titles, right? People understand titles. I don't care if y'all would admit it or not. We know about titles, right? And we understand that titles have a powerful role attached to them, right? Like president, governor, mayor. Those are titles that come with a specific role that has certain powers. But it's only for a limited amount of time. And because that title, role, and power are temporary, they are not part of that person's identity. It just describes their job. Isaiah is saying that a child is going to be born. This is not in my notes, but I got to say this. God knows what we can recognize. He sent Jesus in the form of a man. If y'all ever wondered, why did God have to send Jesus? Because we relate to each other, humans. So God sent us a Savior in a way that we could receive him. He came as a baby, as a little baby. And then he came to become the ruler whose name, title, role, and power are his identity. They're his character, who he really is. And he is a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, an everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Today, I want to talk about Jesus as our wonderful counselor. Now, when you think of a counselor, what do you think of? You usually think of somebody, you know, you go to and you pay a lot of money and you sit down and you talk about your problems with them, right? And the whole thing is you're hoping you'll get some good advice, how to fix your problems, right? But we all know that in order for counseling to work, you have to be honest with the counselor. You have to listen to what they tell you. And then you have to actually put into practice what they said. And even if you do all of that, you're still not going to be completely fixed. And this is why God sent us the wonderful counselor in Jesus. God knew. He knew that we would need someone to reach out to for guidance, for wisdom, someone to listen to us and bring us comfort. But not only that, God knew that no earthly counselor would ever be able to heal us completely. And we all need healing. The Bible says we all need healing, y'all. Ephesians 2:3. We were all children of God's wrath. In other words, we disobey him on the regular. Romans 3:10 says not one of us is righteous. Not one of us is righteous in total right standing with God all the time. Psalm 51:5 says we are sinful at birth. You know, I used to be Catholic, and the Catholics call it the original sin. You're born with the original sin. You are sinful at birth, period. I'm not saying because the Catholics say so. I'm saying because Psalm 51:5 says so. We are sinful at birth. The fact is we are all born sinful, so we're going to sin, which means we're going to need healing. And if you want to be completely forgiven, healed, whole, and prosper the way God intended you to be, it's going to require some time with the wonderful counselor, with Jesus. And just like with any of those high-dollar professional counselors you go to, when you come to the wonderful counselor we have in Jesus, you have to be honest with the counselor. You have to listen to the voice of the wonderful counselor and then do what the counselor tells you to do. Now, I know it can be hard for some people to approach God. I'm not making light of that. I understand that. It can be hard for some people to actually approach God, much less be honest with him. But just like with any relationship, y'all, honesty is a requirement. Otherwise, what are we doing? God can handle your honesty. In fact, he wants it. And I know that may sound contrary to what some of us have heard from religion. The fact is, religion has done a really good job of making us think that God is always mad, right? And he's mean, he's harsh, he's mad, and he's just waiting for you to do something so he can take you out and punish you. And there are certain Bible verses that might seem to actually back up that kind of thinking. But I'm going to tell you right now, that's not who God is, not at all. In the Bible, where it says that God punished sin, he didn't do it as a way of getting back at people who disobeyed him. I mean, is that what you do with your kids? No. You get on to your kids because you're trying to teach them something. Well, the same thing's true for God. When we get out on our own and start messing around and getting caught up in all kinds of bad situations, God steps in and says, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing? Because God disciplines his kids just like good parents do. God is trying to protect you, to keep you on the right path. He's not mad. He's concerned. Remember, we're all born with a sinful nature. So that means there is not a child out there who doesn't need discipline and training. Amen. We all need that. And in the real world that we all live in, we all should be living in the real world, there are rewards and consequences for the decisions we make. How many here know that's true? Can I get an amen? Thank you, Susie. Can I get an amen? If you understand, there are rewards and consequences for the decisions you make. Amen. Okay, so as parents, we know we have to discipline our kids. Because if we don't, they're never going to make it in the real world. So you don't punish them to hurt them. You do it to train them, to help them understand there are consequences to their actions. Otherwise, what's going to happen? That kid's going to grow up thinking they can just do whatever they want to do, and everybody got to be okay with it. That's what's wrong with some people today. I'm going to move on. But I need you to understand one thing. You might have had the best dad in the world. I had an amazing father. He had flaws, but he was an amazing dad. Like, you want to talk about my ride or die, my champion? That was my dad. But even as good of a dad as you had, or you can even imagine, God is even better than that. He's a loving father. So yeah, he disciplines us when we get off track. The Bible does say that God punishes sin, but it also says that he gives us a way out of sin, a way to be forgiven from sin, and a way to avoid it in the first place. And the way is Jesus, the wonderful counselor. God gave us Jesus, the Savior who forgives us when we do mess up, and Jesus, the wonderful counselor who guides us and leads us so that we can stay in right relationship with God. God's not mad. That doesn't sound like a mad God to me. That don't even make sense. God sacrificed his only perfect son. And babies, just they're born just looking so perfect. But it won't take long before you discover they are not perfect. Jesus was perfect. Oh my gosh, can you imagine having a baby that was perfect? I mean, you could basically just, hey, here you go. Everything was going to be great. God gave up his perfect only son so that we can be saved from our own rebellion and sin. That didn't sound like a mean God to me. That sounds like a merciful God. A God who understands our humanity, our frailty, our weaknesses. And he understands because he knows how we were made. He made us. Friend, I don't ever want you to be afraid of opening up to God about anything. Don't ever be afraid to be honest with God. He's not going to let you down. And he's not even going to judge you. Not now. I'm going to say that again. God is not in the dispensation of judgment right now. He is not judging us. We are in the dispensation of grace. Grace through his son, Jesus Christ, which means we still have a chance to surrender our lives to Jesus. That's beautiful. We still have a chance to come to Jesus and let him stand before us at judgment day instead of us. God is dispensing grace right now, not judgment. He's not mad at you. He's giving you every opportunity to come to him. So go to God and be honest with him. Because I'm going to tell you right now, he already knows what's going on anyway. He does. You think you're hiding something from God? That's the creator of the universe, y'all. Psalm 139 tells us that God knows everything about us, even our thoughts. You know, some people get it twisted. They think, oh, the devil can read my mind. The devil can't read your mind, but God can. God knows everything. He's omnipotent, omniscient, which means he's all-powerful, all-knowing. So you're not telling anything to God that he don't already know, but he wants to hear it from you anyway. You know, I think about my grandkids. Man, I love my grandkids. So on Sundays, when we're done, we're packed up here and we're leaving, all I want to do is get some food and a nappy. That's it. I'm tired. Especially if I've been up here preaching. Like today, we're going home and we're going to get food and nap. That's it. Don't nobody ask me for nothing. So I know my grandkids, at least one of them is going to want to come home with us after church. And if they ask me, they can come. But they have to ask me. I love them and I want to spend any time with them. And I know they're probably going to want to come home with me, but they need to ask me. Otherwise, I'm out. Well, just like I know what my grandkids want, God knows what you want. He knows what you need, but he's just waiting for you to ask for it. And you know why? Because it shows him, number one, that you really want it, and you're willing to submit your desires to him. You're willing to be honest with God. And friends, honesty with God, that's obedience. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 tells us to trust God and to submit everything to him. So don't hold back thinking you can figure it out somehow. Don't do that, y'all. Holding on to your problems, refusing to take them to God, when you do that, you're basically saying that you know better than God does. And that's pride. And what happens with pride? It comes before a fall. But when you trust God with your situation, with your stuff, and you don't try to figure it all out on your own, or you don't get on the phone and start calling people or texting people, what I do? No, go to him. Because he's the only one that can make your path straight. The Bible says that God makes the crooked places straight. He will set a straight path for you right out of that mess. Right out of the problem, right out of the struggle, right out of the depression, right out of the addiction. God will set a straight path. Ain't nobody else going to be able to do that, y'all. And it's because you're willing to expose it. Let me tell you something. When you expose something, I'm from Houston. We got roaches in Houston. I don't know about San Antonio, but we got them big Louis the Leatherback roaches in Houston. I promise you they're this big. Big as my thumb roaches. And they fly. Okay? They fly. I got a story about that, but I cannot tell it right now. I got to move on. So they fly. Well, you know how when you go to the shed, I don't know if y'all know this, but you go to the shed, you turn on the light, the roaches start scrambling out. It's because they got exposed. When something's exposed, there's a big chance it's going to get resolved, dealt with. If you want to be healed completely, if you need wisdom, if you're struggling, take that to the wonderful counselor and be brutally honest with what's going on, y'all. And once you've done that, then you have to listen to the voice of the wonderful counselor. The Bible says in John 10:27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. This is saying, number one, Jesus has a very distinct voice and it's recognizable by his followers. And this verse is telling us that those who belong to Jesus, they listen for his distinct voice. There's a difference between hearing and listening. Sometimes Pastor Bob and I will be having a conversation and I can always tell when he's actually listening to me. You know why? Because he responds appropriately. But when he's just hearing me, I get the, yeah, okay, wow, man. Yeah, yeah. And I'll tell him, you ain't listening to me. He's like, yeah, I am. I heard what you said. I'm like, what'd I say? And 9 times out of 10, I promise you, he leaves something out. It's because he might have heard my voice, but he wasn't paying attention to it. He wasn't listening to me. Every single married couple and every single parent in this room knows exactly what I'm talking about. That's why y'all laughing. Listening involves paying attention, thought, comprehension. And Jesus is saying that his followers listen to his voice. We don't just hear him. We're actually focused on what he's saying to us with the intention of understanding. And if you're going to be able to listen to God's voice, you have to know what it sounds like. Yeah, that's right. I'm not talking about audible sound. I'm not talking about that. I'm referring to content and tone. What is he saying? Now, this is important, y'all, because the devil talks too. He just says stupid stuff. He says stuff that contradicts the word of God. Things that make you feel bad about yourself or things that make you feel bad about somebody else. And the devil's voice is going to always lead you away from God. The voice of the wonderful counselor, that's going to always line up with God's word. It's going to encourage you and it'll lead you closer to God. God's voice is not condemning. It doesn't sound like guilt or shame. It doesn't make you feel bad about yourself. Now, it might make you feel bad about sin, but never about who you are. The devil's voice tries to make you feel bad about who you are, not the sin. Remember, he wants you to sin. He'll never try to make you feel bad about sin. No. His voice makes you feel bad about who you are. And when you do sin, the devil's all up in your ear. You're guilty. So you're bad. He never says a sin is bad. The devil's voice brings shame, which tells you you're worthless. Doesn't even address the sin. God's voice sounds like conviction, not condemnation. His voice that convicts you kind of arrests your heart and helps you realize you made a mistake. And then God's voice encourages you to repent. Not just say you're sorry. Repent. Turn all the way away from that because you don't want to have anything to do with that anymore. And the other thing about the voice of the good counselor is that it always, 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 always lines up with Scripture. Now, this is where it can get a little bit difficult to discern God's voice. So I'm going to help you out here. A lot of times people look in the Bible and they read something and they think, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do. But the deal is the Bible must always be interpreted through context and it must be read that way. Read and interpreted through context. And Scripture never contradicts itself. You will not read something in the New Testament that contradicts something in the Old Testament. That's not how it works. And this is important. It's important that you know this because the enemy of your soul, he knows it. He knows the Bible. He knows the Bible better than we do, word for word. He's a Bible scholar. And he'll try to use God's word against you to make you feel bad about yourself or someone else because he wants to hold you in bondage. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. You're a Christian, right? And you got some kind of conflict brewing with somebody in your life. So you go to the Bible to see how the word says you should handle it, right? So maybe you run across Hebrews 12:14. Well, there it says to strive for peace with everyone, to strive for peace with everyone. Well, it's at that point, if you're not careful, the enemy's going to sneak in and start trying to tell you what that verse means. He'll try to make you think that Scripture is saying you have to fix it. You have to do anything and everything that you can to keep the peace. But that's not what that verse means. Because Michael just told us a couple of weeks ago, Matthew 5:9 says we are to be peacemakers, not peacekeepers. And in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus says that if you've got an issue with someone, then there's a process we need to work through to resolve the conflict. It doesn't say we're to do anything and everything to keep the peace. No, it says to resolve the conflict with the goal of restoring the relationship. But watch this. Jesus also very clearly says in Matthew 18 that if the other person won't cooperate, in other words, they don't want reconciliation, then you got to move on. You got to move on. And when you've done everything you can to obey God's word, to obey Matthew 18, what Jesus is telling you to do to resolve the conflict, if you've done everything you can, then you can move on and your peace is restored. Now, the relationship might be over, but you have peace, whether that person has it or not. I'm going to stay here a little bit longer, y'all, because I know that some of you guys here may be struggling with some relationships. Some relationships where there's always some kind of drama, some kind of conflict going on. And I know it's hurtful and it can even be confusing. And you don't understand what's really going on. So let me help you a little here. There are people, even Christians, church-going, Bible-believing Christians, who live offended. They have a spirit of offense. It's attached itself to them, and they may not even know it. It doesn't make them a bad person, y'all. It just means they've got some things they need to work out with Jesus. So if you're trying to make peace with someone who's always offended about something, whether that person is you or somebody else, it's probably not going to work. Let me give you some telltale signs of an offended person. First of all, they get upset about not getting what they felt entitled to get, whether it's a relationship, promotion, invitation, something. They felt entitled to get something and they didn't get it, so they're upset. And when they do get upset, they don't want to work it out. They argue, they blame, they bail out of the relationship in one way or another. They either become super distant and you know something's going on. They say, oh, I'm fine. Or they just leave altogether. And I'm telling you this because when someone is easily offended, reconciliation is not going to be possible until they give that offense to Jesus. They got to be delivered from a spirit of offense. And if you can't recognize when someone has a spirit of offense, the devil will absolutely use that against you. He will swoop in and start accusing you, trying to make you feel bad about yourself, bringing condemnation on you. And he does it like this. He says things like, well, if you were a real Christian, you'd do whatever you can to make them happy. But that's not what Jesus said to do, y'all. And actually, that's manipulation, and the Bible says that's witchcraft. You're trying to make somebody respond a certain way by doing something. Manipulation, y'all. We have to truly know the voice of the wonderful counselor. We got to know what it sounds like. Because I'm going to tell you something. He's always speaking to his people. We just have to listen. And we do that when we read his word and also by hearing it properly divided and explained. And that's what happens here every Sunday. God speaks through your pastors. Now, I'm not saying we got it all figured out. Oh, my gosh, no. I'm probably like Paul. I'm the biggest sinner of them all, right? We don't have it all figured out. And I know that there are other people that God speaks through, and you can certainly hear from God from someone else. But the fact is, all throughout the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, God ordained leaders who he could trust to bring his word to his people. And even to people who didn't belong to him yet. He had specific leaders assigned to a specific group that were given the authority and the responsibility, because with authority comes a responsibility to teach and lead them into God's truth. Amen. And here at Pursuit Church, that's your pastors and your leaders. And I'm going to tell you something. We don't take that lightly. We do not take that lightly. Pastor Bob and I pray for this church. We pray for this church every single day. We seek God for a specific word to bring to y'all. This is why you need to come to church every Sunday. Yeah, you can listen to another preacher's podcast or message. I'm not saying that that's not a thing. Just be careful who you're listening to. You need to know where they got trained. How do they know what they know? But if you want a word from God, specifically from the spiritual shepherds that he called to lead and care for you, you're only going to get that here in your church. We are totally invested in your spiritual growth. We spend time getting to know you, praying for you by name. Those people online, they don't know you. I'm just being real. They don't know you, and they're not specifically praying for you. It's because they aren't the ones God chose to be your spiritual shepherds. Week in, week out, 365 days a year. Get to know God's voice. You do it through his word and through the message God's given us to bring to you each Sunday, and then do what God says to do. I feel like I need to say this again. We are not experts. We are not perfect. But Pastor Bob and I and the leaders of this church are perfectly willing to submit our stuff to God, to hear from him, to be able to encourage you and bring you truth with a capital T. God's truth. Jesus said that after you listen to the voice of the good counselor, the wonderful counselor, your part is to actually do what he said. Look at James 2:14. James is in the New Testament. And it's right after Hebrews, I think. Anyway, this is what James 2:14 says. It says, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them?" I love the book of James, y'all. It's practical Christianity. It's Christianity 101. And in this verse, James is saying we got to do more than just believe Jesus can heal us. We actually got to do what he says that we need to do so that we can be healed. Take your struggle, your brokenness, whatever you need, whatever you've got going on, take that to the wonderful counselor. Tell Jesus what's going on. Be brutally honest with God about your issues. And then listen to his voice. He's speaking through his word. Discover the context of whatever it is that you're reading. Whatever you're reading in the Bible, look at the context. Make sure that what you think it means doesn't contradict something else God said in the Bible somewhere else. And don't think you have to figure it out all on your own. Come to church. It's our job. It's our job to properly divide and explain God's word to you so that you can apply it to your daily life. Because you have to put God's word into practice. If you're ever going to become all that God created you to be, you have to be able to understand his word and put it into practice. If you're ever going to walk in freedom, be healed and whole, you have to do what God is telling you to do through his word. There is no magic bullet. You have to do his word. And I know it's hard sometimes. I know that. But come on. Anything that's worth having, you have to sacrifice for it. Requires sacrifice. Even if you get something for free and it's valuable, you still have to work to keep it. How much do you value your freedom from that addiction? How much do you value good, healthy relationships? And if you've never had one, they're golden, y'all. They're the best. They're safe. You know what? There are two places that the enemy of your soul, the devil, is always going to come for you. It's in your faith and relationships. And he does it because he knows those two things are absolutely imperative to be a follower of Jesus. God created us for relationships first with him. Without faith, you have to have faith. You have to believe. So we have to guard those. We have to guard our faith, guard our relationships, and we have to be honest with God. Tell him your stuff, even if your faith is waning. Talk to God. Don't let the enemy trick you, and don't let him lure you away from God by telling you that God is someone that he isn't. Regularly, daily, listen to the voice of the wonderful counselor. That way, you can learn to recognize it. So when the voice of the enemy tries to lure you into sin, you're not going to fall for that. Because the voice of the enemy will try to lead you into destruction. Don't forget, the devil came to steal our faith and kill our relationships. He wants to destroy your life. You know, I know people who used to be on fire for Jesus with their whole hearts, their whole lives. And now they're gone. They're gone from the church. They don't even go to church anymore. And they don't even half believe in God anymore. And it's because they got hurt. They stopped listening to the voice of the wonderful counselor. They let the enemy in, and he just destroyed their faith. Led them away from God. Before I close today, I want to look at the first chapter of Isaiah. This tells us why the Israelites were suffering so bad, why they had lost so much, and why they needed a Savior. It's not going to be on the screen, so let me just read it to you. And if you have your Bible, it's Isaiah, starting in chapter 1. This is what it says. This is God talking. "I reared children and brought them up, but they've rebelled against me. The ox knows its master. The donkey knows its owner's manger, but Israel doesn't know. my people do not understand. And then God goes on to describe them as a sinful nation. He actually refers to them as children given to corruption. God sees that we all have a tendency to sin, to become corrupt and mess things up in our lives. And God is telling us through Isaiah, why are you doing that? Why should you be beaten down anymore? Why do you persist in rebellion? Your whole body is injured. Your heart is sick. Friends, that's a word for all of us today. We are people given to corruption. We were born with a sin nature, a heart set on disobeying God. And the Lord is asking us the same thing now that He was asking back then. Why do you keep allowing yourself to be hurt, to be beaten down? Why are you continuing to rebel against my ways? Can't you see that rebellion is destroying your lives? God knows us so well, y'all. He saw you when you were being formed. He knows every single hair on your head. He knows everything you've done that brought pain, trauma, or lack into your life. And God knows everything you didn't do that had the same result. And that breaks His heart. The God of love, the God of grace, mercy, His name is Yahweh, Adonai. He's the one true God. He loves you so much that when you hurt, He hurts. And He knew that every one of us was going to turn away from Him. And in His love and mercy, He made a plan. Even before He made the world, God created a plan so that we could come back to Him, so that we could be forgiven of our sin and our rebellion, so that we could have Him restore everything that we lost and to give you a future and hope. And this is why we celebrate Christmas, because Christmas is when God's divine plan for our salvation and restoration, that's when it came to life. The plan took on human form in a sweet baby born in a dirty, filthy animal stable. No title, no position, no role, except the Savior we really need. Our wonderful Counselor. Will you bow your heads? Oh, Lord, we love You so much. We thank You for who You are. You are a good, loving, merciful God, Lord. We know that. And we thank You for Your word and that Your word came alive in Your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, thank You for sending us a Savior. Thank You for sending us a way out of all the things that we tend to just get into. Lord, thank You. Thank You, Father, for all that You've done for us. But most importantly, thank You for who You are. You love us. You love us so richly and so fully. And Lord, as life gets hard, our hearts get restless and we get lost in the day-to-day grind. Lord, we get distracted. But thank You, God, that You never give up on us. Thank You for always pursuing us with an everlasting love, a love we can't even comprehend. Thank You for that, Lord. And God, I ask You to heal burning hearts right now. For those who've been hurt and are having a hard time trusting You, Lord, bring comfort and reassurance of just how wonderful You really are. Restore minds and bodies that have been ravaged by sin and the devastation of the enemy. Lord, restore everything that the devil stole from Your people. Whether he stole it or we gave it up freely, Lord, restore that right now. Restore health unto Your people in our minds and bodies. And God, draw us closer to You in Jesus' mighty name. Now, if you just stay, just keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed and just kind of stay in this moment. If you really don't know who the wonderful Counselor is, you know, you hear my words and it's kind of resonating, but you're not really sure and you don't know. If you've never given your life to Jesus, He's calling you in right now. He started a long time ago, but He's calling you in right now. You are here for a reason. God wants that relationship with you. The Bible says that God's will is that none should perish. So He's calling you back into Him. And if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that He is who He says He is, then you have a chance right now to be forgiven for all your mistakes, your missteps, your past. Even if the past was on the way to church today, you have a chance right now to drop that at the feet of Jesus, receive God's forgiveness, mercy, and grace, and walk out a new life as a follower of Jesus. If that's you and you want to make that decision right now, then all you got to do is pray a simple prayer. You believe it with your whole heart, and you will be born again into a new life as a child of God. And I'm going to ask the believers all across the room, just pray these words after me, just to kind of encourage those who are making a decision for Jesus. All you have to say is, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sin. I ask you to forgive me and wash me clean. Come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name.